Why are we getting so frustrated? Why are we getting so scared? Why are we getting to the point like things just ain't happening and I get discouraged? I believe that if we really are intentional with the things of God, we'll begin to see things change, transform, and begin to look different in our eyes. But if we're not intentional about the things, then we're going to miss the greatest demonstration of his grace and love for you. Because we're more caught up looking at what is not and not speaking what it is before it ever becomes. Are you hearing me? Your faith is going to get tested. Your faith is going to get rocked. But your faith will always be attached to him. Regardless of the situation. He wants you to understand, I am working things out for your good because I'm an intentional God. I don't do things haphazardly. When he thinks it, it already is. Do you understand? He is already looking at your now, but he's already projected for your future. He's already said, I put things in motion and in place just for you. You just got to go through this process to understand that it's my intention for you to go through and not to make a place of residence in the valley. Oh, look. You've got to see, you've got to transition from one place to another, but in the process of getting through, you've got to see that he's intentional with your walk. Are you understanding this? In other words, what he's saying, if I've ordered your steps, your job is to walk in those steps. That's it. It may not look like the way you thought it was going to look. It may not even feel the way you thought it was going to be. How about this one? It may not sound like the way you thought it was going to sound. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you thought you heard the word of the Lord? All right, now let's be real. Come on. Where you really thought you heard the Lord say, don't make me get real personal with y'all. Don't make me get real personal with you. You know, oh, that's my spouse right there. Ooh-wee, that's him. That's my husband. That's my Boaz.
Watch it.
All right now. You know how we said that was God. And where's your Boaz now? That Boaz was with somebody else. Already, I do walk down the aisle and everything been given away. He said, that's supposed to be my husband. God didn't say, your emotions said. When your emotions begin to speak, hey, my God, and start putting that on God, then we wonder, did we really hear God? But then when God really speaks, then you begin to second guess, was it God? Based on your last experience on God said. Oh, look, I'm just trying to tell you. If God said it, it's going to be. But if you said it, you better watch what your mouth is saying. Because if it ain't God, you can be looking at something and say, this is God, and God will move on.
Go, sir.
Looking at you like, I guess you're going to be in this valley for a minute. I'm an intentional God doing things intentional for my people. And when they get a little off or a little stray, I will raise up a messenger. Those are called prophets. They come to tell you something that you don't want to hear. No, not that the person next to you is going to be the one that's going to just bless you 100-fold. No, a real prophet is going to come in and tell you where you're at is not where you're supposed to be. What you're doing is what you need to cease from doing. Who? Hey, stop it now. Who you connected with? Because they already connected with somebody else. And you just hoping you can get them to disconnect so you can be connected. Is that a little bit too much for you? Is that a little bit too much? I done seen too much mess in church. Too much mess. Are we all give me a thumbs up, Joey? I done seen too much mess going on in the church and everybody is saying that's just grace and mercy. No, it ain't. It's silliness. We've got to make change. If it's God, it's his intention for his people to get to another place in him. But if it don't look like, feel right, or even sound right, we don't want nothing to do with it. But even God told you to be there. This can't be you. You know what I like. God says, I know what you think you like. Just because I like to eat a lot of burritos don't mean it's good for me. You know, with all the gravy, guacamole, and sour cream, and all that kind of chili on there, then you wonder why you got heartburn. Got heartburn because you want to eat some habanero peppers, and you want to blame God. Put that thing down. Step away from the habanero. And then you can get rid of the heartburn. It's simplified. But why is it we get in relationships that you can see all the signs? It ain't right, and you just want to disregard the signs. Well, the Lord is going to have me make them change. I'm going to be the light in this dark world. You better change that light bulb. It's getting a little dim. We got to see some things for what it is. We let our soul begin to speak what's deep inside. We're not watching our mouth. If we're intentional with our words, we can begin to make a change to the atmosphere around us. And there's some times that God has to send a word into your life to make you see this ain't the way to go. We don't like it. How many of you like to be told? I mean told. When you know you're wrong and you're being told, do we really like it? If someone likes it, then they're mature. They've matured. They're saying, I'd rather take correction than another sugar-coated word. I'd rather take correction because I know you love me as opposed to another sugar-coated word. I'd rather hear the Lord speak exactly what he wants in my life as opposed to what I want for my life and how I want it to feel good to me. Do you understand? It is time that we mature in the things of God and his plan for his bride. Correct? Now look to your neighbor. Look to your neighbor and say, you are the bride because you're the church. I am not to speak against you. Oh, yeah. Look into their eyes. Come on, like you really mean it now. I'm not to speak against you because you're his bride. Let me look into this camera here on Facebook. I am not to speak against you because you're the bride. I'm to encourage you. I'm to bless you, speak truth, uplift you. And at times, if there's a corrective word that comes, receive. But it doesn't mean that when we do something, that it's supposed to be the way we desire it to be. We must do it based upon what God said for us to do. And he's given us the instructions in his manual, which is the word of God. And I've seen for too long, we desire what we desire as opposed to what God desires for us to have. And so what happens is we begin to go off on these little areas. We call those rabbit hole things, you know. You know, just you get into places you don't want nobody to see. Ain't nobody going to see, so it's okay. He sees. He sees. He knows what's going on. But I don't go to this place over here because they only talk about this. Or I don't go over here because I don't like how things are. Stop. Where did God send you? Where did God tell you to be? That's where you need to be. Amen? Amen. Wherever that is, there's where you get to. It may not be what you thought, but it is what he desires. It's his intentions. Amen? Welcome to the house. Now, I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about being intentional. But when I was working corporately, I was working as a hotel construction manager for renovating hotels. And I remember this one that we were doing in Orlando, Florida. And the elevators there needed to be redone, refurbished. And so I'm going into the elevator with these contractors. Now, I don't know about you, but you get around some folks that you already know. They have a tendency to use some colorful language. Just colorful, you know. Like, you know, just people that you know. So we get into this elevator. Contractors are just talking. They know that I'm the project manager. They know that I'm kind of running the show there, telling them what needs to get done. But in this particular afternoon, we get into this elevator, and this one guy that is very, very colorful in word just is so quiet that it made his guys, because he was the foreman, made his guys very uncomfortable because he wasn't saying much. So the atmosphere in this elevator, like, you know, an elevator is not real big. We're getting in at the lobby, and we've got to go up all the way to the 21st floor. So this whole ride in this elevator is still a little awkward. Because all these men don't want to say a word because this gentleman is mad. Now, I've heard him cuss before. It didn't mean nothing to me. Go ahead. Do say what you want to do. Don't matter. You're not going to change the way I feel. But see, not one word was spoken, but the whole atmosphere was different. Oh, come on now. Come on. There's some words that are unspoken that can make you feel different than what you felt when someone spoke it to you. There's some unspoken words that make you feel like this tension I can't even bear anymore. Have you ever been there? Walk into a room where two people have been arguing. You walk into a cloud of thickness, they're like, ooh. What's going on here? You been there? So you know it gets awkward. But did anybody say anything to you? But you feel what has not been spoken, but you can feel it. Okay, hear what I'm saying. There is a thing about influence that you may walk into not even knowing that you're becoming now under that same influence because of where you're at. Do you understand that? Now, being in a place of influence, we have to understand, not the discernment, like, ooh, what is this? Ooh, this is the spirit. No, there's some folks in there that are just jacked up. Amen? Look at me. Pastor, why you got to go so negative all the time? I'm talking about a negative situation. Get into a place of Holy Ghost-filled people, and then your atmosphere feels great, doesn't it? Y'all looking at me like, yeah, well, sometimes. There's more judgment at that time sometimes. But I'm just saying that the atmosphere begins to change you. You begin to feel it. So the next thing that happens is this one young man looks over at the foreman in the elevator. We're just now about 5-6 floors up. I remember it was taking a long time. And I'm looking over, and he's just about to open his mouth, and the other gentleman just covered his mouth. You ever been there? When you're about to address the situation, and someone wants to cover your mouth. You're about to really call it what it is. You're going to call it out. Don't say a word. We still got a lot of floors to go. Just hush. I don't want to get into this thing right. You know, when they look at you like that, the foreman looked over and said, why are you covering his mouth? Oh, that's it. That's it. This on now. Something about to really go down. So now, me, I'm over here in the corner like, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Don't let me be saved today. Because if it's time to throw, we're going to throw. And I don't know what's about to go down. Lord, what's about? He said, what you doing? Why are you scared? I'm not. Just help me out here, Lord. Just help me out. Why are you scared? I'm not. Why are you getting back to the corner? No. Say something. Say what? Say something. Say what? You know when the Lord speaks to you like, say something. Well, say what? Speak into it. Tell me what to speak into. You ever been there? Because the tension is so bad, but you know that you can change that atmosphere on what's about to come out of your mouth, but you're so scared not to speak into it that you feel like you've been mugged. True story. And if you know more, look, bro, hey, look, don't worry about him. He was just about to tell you we're going to have a barbecue afterwards. I'm treating. True story. The guy that is so angry, turn around, look at me, look at me. You got to stay. I don't know about them, but you got to stay. How about you get to stay? He said, no. Watch it. Watch how the atmosphere begins to change. I'll buy the steaks, but you cook. I said, man, I got to go all the way back down there. Now I've got attitude. Because the threat's already gone. See, where I was put in a corner because of the circumstance and the atmosphere, I didn't want to open my mouth. But when I opened my mouth, I could feel the atmosphere change. Now I was all grown. Where I was once scared, now I was comfortable with justice. Isn't it something when God wants you to address something in the spirit? At first you got fearful, but the moment you speak to you, your atmosphere changed. Now you can stand boldly and say, I've got God on my side. He's intentional about me winning this thing and turning this thing around. Man, listen to me here. Take my card, get the steak, get what you need. We're going to finish these two floors. By the time we're done, it'll be time for us to eat. The whole church is here. What do you do? Change the atmosphere. Did I speak anything that was so special? So how to change the atmosphere? I'm addressing what needs to be addressed. I was so scared I was getting up for a wood. But I said, no, we're going to do my barbecue after this. And I know that we got a barbecue after this. I was going to go buy one if I had to get a little hibachi. I'll put all the steaks right there. He's just doing that. Watch it. Then he said, no, take my card. Watch this. Take my card and go get what you need, and then we'll be done. When God is intentional about you being in a place of influence to bring life into a dark place, it doesn't matter what is going on, you can make change. We have to look beyond the spiritual thing and sometimes get into the natural thing of how we can entice peace. This is what it says. So let's go. Just speak to the atmosphere. And it'll change because you're there, I'm there. When you speak and open your mouth, that you're not going to add to the fire, you're going to diffuse it. I will make a change and I will open the door. You know what I'm about to tell you? That barbecue was the best barbecue we ever had. Because I put that thing, I put it in the hall. Good, and I used to cook, so I would just, good. The guy came down. He was still kind of salty. Had an opportunity to minister to him. Watch what happens. It opened and made a door for us to communicate. With no fear. Just sitting there over this little, you know when you buy those little grills that they're like, they're real flimsy, but you buy them at Walmart? Real flimsy. You close the lid and all the smoke's still coming out because it, that's the one. You put it in the whole thing shaking like this. I said, man, I just want to cook real quick for you guys. So how you feeling? You'll get the conversation going. Man, you wouldn't understand all the stuff that's going on. I said, no, man, it's going to be all right. It's gonna be, how do you know? Because I just know. How do you know? Man, let me just tell you. I don't know what's going on in your life, but your sister's going to be all right. She's going to be healed of that tumor. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. God will make a way for you through an open door so that he can be intentional through your words, what he's about to put in you to release. The word of knowledge came out, and he says, how do you know my sister? I said, I don't. How do you know that she's in the hospital right now? I don't. But I do know that God knows. And he's going to be all right. Big dude, 6'4", 6'5", something like a big dude. His arms, like two of my legs and arms put together. Big. But now at that point, I don't care how big you are. I know I'm hearing God. I know I'm hearing the words to speak and not my words. Not my emotions, but my words to speak. And it began to change. That boy began to cry. Broken. Broken before the Lord. Got the opportunity to pray. Here's what I'm telling you. Some of the situations that you get put into don't look like it's a God thing. But he's intentional to work through you to get to somebody. All you have to do is yield. Yield to him. Trust what he's putting inside of you to speak. Because you can be that messenger of hope in someone's life. Amen? Change the atmosphere. We have to change the atmosphere. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. And when you have it, say amen. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. I'll begin reading in verse 18. It says, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. But I thank you, Lord, that you're ministering to our hearts, Lord, so that it can begin to change what we speak. And Father, I thank you in advance for what you're doing and what you're about to do in our lives and through our lives. Lord, I thank you that we're a part of the bigger picture. We're just a piece of the puzzle to complete the picture. So I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. Now what I want you to do is go down to Matthew 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. It says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Now have you ever been in a situation where something has really got to the heart of the issue in your life? That you want to speak something negative? You want to speak something that is not going to be conducive for growth in the direction of the things for God? It's just something inside of you that wants to speak based on your emotions? But he's calling them a brood of vipers. Why? Because he's saying to them, out of your mouth, you speak the good things, but in your heart, you mean none of it. You only speak what others want to hear, but you don't want to speak truth what's really in you. So out of your mouth comes blessing and cursing. So how can you bless God, praise God, worship God, but in the same token begin to talk about your brothers and sisters? Talk about family members. We get to that point where we've got to watch our mouth. We've got to watch our mouth. Because what we're doing is we're speaking something that's negative into a situation that could be already negative. You add in fuel to the fire. But if we speak what God has put in our heart to speak, the word of God, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, we can begin to make a change in the atmosphere in someone's life. Begin to make a change in the course of the patterns in their life where they can make change along the path that they're going on. We have to watch what we're saying. Be mindful of it. And watch this out of James. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are all guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Now, tongue, we know this. We can speak life and death out of our tongue. We can speak things negatively, and it's going to create a negative atmosphere. But if we speak things positively, we can create a positive attitude, a positive, you know, circumstance, an atmosphere. Are you understanding this? So we've got to be careful. What is the trick of the enemy? It's to get you to speak something based out of your emotions. Out of your emotions, if you speak what you're feeling inside as opposed to what you should be hearing from God to speak, you can mess up. Have you ever made a decision based on your emotions? Because when you make a decision based on your emotions, it usually goes, some will say crazy. It goes a little crazy, sideways, a little sideways. And we've got to be careful. Our mouth is like a tongue of fire. It can set a whole thing ablaze. You ever remember Smokey the Bear? It only takes just a little match to cause a massive fire. It only takes a little thing to cause so much destruction. And we've got to be careful. What we say and what we do and how we do it. We've got to be careful. I was praying about this. I said, Lord, I know this is something that you want us to understand, that we can't be speaking all these blessings but yet cursing people in our life because we don't quite understand what is transpiring in their life. Have you ever had someone look at your life and say, the reason why you're going through this is based upon this? They try to come and counsel you, and they try to tell you that what's going on is based upon either actions or sin, but they don't quite understand what God is doing in your life, and so they want to put judgment on you based on what you're going through, not knowing that God is allowing some things to be purged out of you through your trials, but they want to curse you in your trials, and it hurts even the more when you're going through. But that fire gets so intensified that it begins to burn some things off of you. Now, being a cook, liking to cook, how many of you have ever put something in a pan and the fire is so hot that what you put in the pan, some food, doesn't it stick to the pan? And it's hard and it's got to scrape to get it off. But if you let it sit with water, it softens it up and it's able to come up. And I was looking at that the other day when I was washing dishes because I made some pasta. I made some pasta and I put some olive oil in there and I put some peppers and onions and put some, you know, some seasoning on that. Put a little bit of the butter in there and then just kind of toss it around. But if the fire is too hot, it begins to take what was meant to be good and it becomes sticky and it gets stuck to the pan and it puts off a bad taste. What was meant to be good puts off a bad taste if the heat is turned up too hot. See, God will never put you through something that you can't handle. But it's when the people come along to try to turn that fire up to make you become bitter and make whatever that God intended for your life to be good for you, the people can add more fire and more fuel to it and make you become burnt in the process. And that you're stuck in the process. We got to be careful of what we're saying. Now, I want you to look and turn with me, please, to Colossians 4. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. In Colossians 4, 2 through 6, it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The Apostle Paul is talking about your prayer on how it will open doors for ministry. Be careful how your actions are to those that are outside. Read that. What he's saying, what you're speaking in here must be mirrored out there. What you're declaring and prophesying and declaring in here, worshiping and praising God in here, must be seen outside. Because what you do in here is to prepare you for what you're really going to do in ministry outside. Because our actions are the things that people judge us on, not only what we say. Because you can tell someone you love them, but if you don't have the actions to show it, it's just idle words. If you can say that I love God, but then you're not in your word, you're not in prayer, the fruits will show that it's not. We've got to be intentional about coming into a closer relationship with the Father in our word, our prayer, in our times of worship with him, so that the fruit can be displayed. Because there's someone that God is going to connect you with to change their atmosphere. He wants to use you intentionally to be a blessing. And in this place of blessing, you can speak and it begins to alter and change the course of the person's life. Do you understand? And when things are going astray, they're going a little off, he usually sends a prophet or a prophetic word. He'll send a word to speak to you. Last week, I talked to you about how the angel came and spoke to the man of God at the very altar. Now, I want you to see this in its context, because Isaiah in chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, before we get to chapter 6, Isaiah is the prophet that is speaking in chapters 1 through 5 about woe to the people. Woe to the people who are doing sin. Woe to the people that are not worshiping the Lord. Woe to the people that are drinking wine. Woe to the people that are staying up late and waking up early just to drink the wine. He's given all these woes. Now watch this in verse 6. Watch how the change happens now to the messenger here on chapter 6. Now the prophet's saying, woe to me. I cried, I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty, the one of the seraphim. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. Watch this. When he touched my mouth and says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. He said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. This is now the prophet saying, first I came to tell you that woe to you, now woe unto me, because even my lips are impure. That the angel now comes to him, the prophet, to purify his lips and his words, so that what he is now about to do now is to be sent to speak now and declare what the Lord is about to do and what he wants to do through a people that can't make it on their own. See, God is trying to raise up a people that are watching what comes out of their mouth to do what God is saying for them to do. And sometimes he's got to send an angel to touch you right where you're at. You may have thought, I'm doing all these great works for the kingdom of God, but in the midst of that, God says, I've got to test you and show you that even your lips and your words are impure at times, and that you've got to see it for yourself to have an experience with him and know that God is still working on your behalf. That he's going to use you, but you have to have an encounter. How many of you are ready for an encounter? Now, I mean an encounter that's going to change everything about you and even how you see people. How you even react with people. Because a prophet knew he could go and curse the people, is speak the thing that the Lord is saying and tell him this is what's going on in your life. But now he has an encounter and sees the Lord that even his mouth has to be purified. Isn't that something? That even the messengers, no, I'm going to get here now. That even the messengers now today, their mouths are about to be purified by the touch from the altar of God to get them to speak what God is saying, not what man is saying, and not what is coming out of the soul of a man, but what is coming out of the throne of heaven for man. Oh, somebody should be getting excited about that, because we've had too many things been declared by men, but not thus saith the Lord. We've had too many things that man is telling us to do, but it hadn't come from the throne of God. It came from a throne that man has built. Oh, Lord, Lord, I wish I had some help in here. Look, because there are some times that we hear instructions and we know something's not right, but yet we follow through because we look at the individual to say, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. But what if God is saying this isn't for you? Oh, look, 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 look. We get around anointed folks. Anointed folks. Revelation, prophecy, gifts of the Holy Ghost, but their heart and their character may not be right. And if their heart and character is not right, we've got to be careful of what is being spoken, because it can cause us to be off kilter. We can come off of the right path because something has been spoken that our eyes and our emotions said yes to, but it wasn't from the throne of heaven. So in this hour, we're about to see things change and become purified from the throne of God. Meaning messengers will arise in this hour to begin to speak what thus saith the Lord really is, and we'll see the bigger picture for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is to bring people together in unity and to come into agreement for the kingdom, to break down barriers and walls that have separated us from coming together in unity. Just because we don't worship the way you worship doesn't mean we can't get together. It's just the way you worship is different, but the one we worship is the same. Oh, you've got to hear this. What he's saying is we've got to come together and come together to worship the King and be right in our way of worship, in our walk with him, watching what we say that caused division, but bring unity as opposed to division. Woo-wee. Because if we're not careful, we'll continue to allow man to push the agenda of man as opposed to the agenda of God. We've seen it for too long. And we need to see men and women of God to hear the voice of the Lord, speak what is being spoken, but be intentional with it. Don't just be hearers of the word only. Be doers. That means if God has put something inside of you to do for destiny and purpose in your life, guess what your job is to do? To do it. But we get people that say, no, this, I'm not sure. What is my gift? What is my purpose? What am I to do? Who am I to do it with? If God sent you to a place, then he sent you to help cultivate his kingdom, to help build his kingdom, gather the people, come in unity to break down walls of separation and segregation. And in this hour, we're going to see more and more of these things taking place. You may have a background in a whole different religious background, but we still serve God. We still believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins. He hung on a cross, was buried, resurrected on the third day, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, and those that call upon his name shall be saved. If that is what you believe, then that's what we believe. That we can gather and we can worship, we can build the kingdom, gather the people in the kingdom, and begin to fill the kingdom Watch this. Because we have got to get the world system to be able to understand that the kingdom of God has the answers for what is going on in the world. Not the world system dictating to the church what the church can do. We, the church, have the mouth to speak on what thus saith the Lord is to change the world, to change the government, to change the economy, to change what is going on in the streets. We have the word of the Lord in our mouth. We have got to watch what we're saying, what we're doing, and we've got to do it with intention and be intentional about building the kingdom of God. Amen. Look, this is something that we should all be saying, yeah and amen, let's do it. But the reality is, we don't know where to get started. We don't know where to get started. How do we gather? How do we do things together? Because the moment you get together with anointed men and women of God, the first thing that happens is judgment comes. Jockeying for position, looking to see who's more anointed than the other, who's got more revelation. The thing for me is, I just want to see people gather. Let us gather in his name. Because in the midst of anything, as long as we gather in his name, the Bible clearly states that he is there. No matter where we're at. Y'all don't want to hear this one. Y'all don't want to hear this. Gather somewhere in his name with a group of people. Not in a four-wall building calling it church. But gather somewhere with a group of people in his name to do the kingdom work. You'll begin to see things manifest because you came in agreement and you came in his name. And because you came in his name and you believe in the one that sent you, you begin to declare some things, and signs and wonders follow them that believe. But we sit in the four walls waiting for revival. If you're waiting for revival in here, it's going to pass you by. Revival is everywhere. That the kingdom of God is made manifest. It means you can walk into the marketplace and begin to declare what God has put in your life, to declare it to somebody else, to bring a hope to their future and to give them a hope in a future in Christ. And not be afraid to speak of it. And not be afraid to demonstrate power. We've got to watch what we say. We've got to watch our mouth. Because there's people that are watching. Not only are they watching you, they're watching your actions. Not whether you go to church. Not whether you praise, hallelujah, and amen. But how you interact with others. Because that's what they're watching. Before they ever come into the church, they're going to want to know, is this for real in your life? Can you make a stand before God and say, I think people could look at me and say, they know I mean what I say. That I live what I declare. I got two that said amen. I got two. Got two. Can you say that you're doing what God is telling you to do? And that people can say, truly, the hand of God is on you? Because they can see it? That's the question. We can't continue on doing it the same way, expecting a different result. How many of you go in, and this is just, I'm going to make a point with this. How many of you, when you first got your job, your first job, you had to fill out an application in the store or anywhere you got your job? You had to fill it out right there on the spot. All right? And you had to dress up because you didn't know if you were going to get interviewed then. Yeah? Now, the interview process or the hiring process is totally different. You got to go online. And you got to submit the application online. You got to submit a resume online. Before, we had to walk in and hand it to the individual that they could see who was giving it to them, and they could have an understanding who this individual was before they ever made a decision. Now we see people getting jobs just because they sent a good-looking resume, but they never met the manager. They never had interactions. Now, have you seen these ones where you can send out a video clip to get hired? I said, ooh-wee. Now I don't have to go and talk to you. You're going to have to sell me based on your electronics and your ability to do something electronically and send it to me about you. Has times changed? Because back in the day, you had to go to college to be successful and come out in debt. Now, we're seeing more millionaires and billionaires based on their ability that God has given them inside already and not even stepping foot in a college, but they're making an impact in society, financially, in the corporate world. Now, didn't I just see that there was a young girl, I think the last name was Kardashian, or what's the one that is just very young, the youngest one? It's not even Kardashian, it's Kylie Jenner, right? Kylie Jenner. She is a billionaire. Billionaire. You know that God has given us a way to make a difference. But if we're caught up doing it the old way, we're behind the time. And we've got to use what has been afforded to us now. And the church has to step in front as opposed from being behind the times. And what has happened, this church has always said it has to be this way because this is the way our granddad used to do it. Or this is the way great-granddad used to do it. Or this is the way they used to do it back in the day. And so we've got to continue doing it this way. That's why church today is not the same. We got Facebook Live. We've got all these kind of different streaming things that we can do to reach a different people in different areas in one moment at one time. We have got to get with the changing of the time, and the church has to be the innovators. The church has to have these inventions that can make us a way to be more profitable in declaring the gospel. And I don't mean money-wise, profitable in the work of the kingdom to bring the souls, the currency back into the kingdom and begin to make a change once and for all. We should be using this now technology to reach a people that will never step foot in the church. Reach them in a way that they have an understanding that there's a true God, a true living God that is reaching them right where they're at. And it's not the old way. It's a way that they can understand. Paul was able to minister to those anywhere he was at because he knew that he could speak to them eloquently, or he could speak to them one-on-one directly the way he needed to speak to them, because he knew how to get across what needed to be get across. Do you understand? We, the church, have to make a stand. Say, I'm not going to allow it to be the old way. Whatever God wants to do, I'm stepping into it, and this is what we're going to do. Amen? And he could do it differently with you guys. It's not about one. It's about the body, the bride, coming together to do his will. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Facebook, those of you online, listen. I pray that you hear the word of the Lord. Wherever you're at, be an impact. Be an impact to your kingdom. Meaning anywhere that you're at, you have dominion and power over it. Make a difference to fill his kingdom. Watch what you say, watch your actions and your interactions, because God wants to use you to change and be an influence in a place that is being influenced the other way. Be the influence, be the light. Hear the word of the Lord and be the doers of the word of the Lord. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. Be intentional. Watch your words. Speak truth. Speak life. Encourage and uplift. And at times when a rebuke has to come, you do it in love. Because they truly have to see God at work. I bless you and I encourage you. The times that are changing, let the church get ahead of the times and begin to make a change once and for all in the system to be the influence to make a change in the world. So I bless you and I encourage you to keep moving forward, that your best and blessed is still right ahead of you. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Those of you that are standing here in the sanctuary today, we know that we have influence. We know that God has called us to be an influence in everywhere that we go. Let the word that is put in your mouth be the word that the Lord has allowed you to speak. Speak it. No longer sit back and wait.